session number 12895, rule 1.
Group Captain Wilson MacDonald, Reel 1.
Yes.
Now, in 1935, you were serving in Aden.
That's right.
With 41 Squadron.
That's quite correct, yes.
What kind of duties did the squadron have in Aden?
Well, we were doing bombing practice. And we were also doing support for the government, for the British government there, because the Yemen people were causing a good deal of trouble. And we used to fly over the Yemen areas to show the flag, shall we say. And also we did some trips in the same way across the Somaliland. And we also flew the mail to the island of Cameroon in the Red Sea, which we did that once a fortnight, I think it was. Do you want me to enlarge on that?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Cameroon was an island in the Red Sea, and it was a fumigation center for the pilgrims to go to Mecca. And they used to come from India in ships and land there, and then they would trek from the island. They'd be fumigated on the island, and they would trek from there up to Mecca, and then they would do the return journey in the same way. The person in charge there was a man called Major Thompson from the British Army. He had been given the job, and he was married to a Russian wife. I remember that very well. And we were taking the mail up there in demon aeroplanes. We had demon aeroplanes at that time. 41 Squadron was equipped with the demon aeroplanes. And then we used to bring the mail, any return mail that Thompson and his gang wanted, we'd bring that back. And any problems that he had, we would take that to the British consul, which was there in Aden. And we used to also go up to the mountains, up to Mercurus. Mercurus was a radio station which was run for the... Don't ask me really what it was run for, but it was a long-distance radio station which was working there with about two sort of fallen workmen, scientists, I think they were. But anyway, it was one of the... We had about three landing grounds up in the mountains there where we used to go and land, and we were on our way back usually from Yemen or from the island of Cameroon. We'd drop in there and we'd refuel there. We used to refuel those aeroplanes with 4 gallon square tins of petrol. And they had to be picked up, carried up onto the top wing and poured into the, and so we had to refuel each airplane would probably take about 80 gallons, and it all had to be transported on these 4 gallon tins.
Did you actually fly over the Yemen?
We flew on the edge of the Yemen all the way up to Cameroon.
But when you were showing the flag?
We were flying over Yemen, yes indeed, yes indeed. Yes.
Did they shoot at you?
They didn't shoot at me, but there were occasions when they shot at aeroplanes, because there was another squadron in Aden at the time called 8 Squadron, number 8 Squadron, which was really responsible for the defence of the Yemen. They were permanent squadron there. The squadron was sent out from England because of the Abyssinian problem. Before I joined the squadron, I was in Aboussouer doing my final training at Aboussouer, Egypt. And we used to watch all the convoys of the Italians going through the Suez Canal. And then eventually I was posted, as you know, to Aden, to 41 Squadron. And then, of course, the Italians by that time were established in Addis Ababa, and all the fighting started, of course, in Abyssinia, and we were still going to cross to Somaliland. We had an airfield on Somaliland. Somaliland presumably was British. It must have been British at that time. And so we used to go across there, but we did no more than just land and show our flag by flying around there and then back to Aden all in the... We used to go, of course, probably one or two airplanes probably went across for a weekend. It was a sort of... just to sort of go across to show the flag. Lots of showing the flag, I think, at that time in my career.
What was it like flying the Demon?
Oh, it's lovely. It's a beautiful aeroplane. Well, if I say it was a heavy aeroplane, it was a two-seater. You see, we had air gunners. I was involved in an accident, a flying accident there. There were four of us practicing formation, and two of them coming in. Do you want this?
Please.
Two of them collided. And the wings came off, and we were flying at about 20,000 feet, I suppose, at the time. And the wings came off these two aeroplanes, and they went straight down. And I watched them. I was with the other aeroplane. A man called Sergeant Smith was leading the formation, and I was on the right. These two chaps are coming in on the left, but they collided, and the two pilots got out. But the two air gunners didn't get out, and they were killed, and they were buried in Comaxa, which is, you know, Comaxa.
Yes.
That's where the number 8 squadron were based. And we all had to go to the funeral, of course. Anyway, that was it. That was the chap who, well, one of the people I knew very well, a chap called Graham, Edward Graham. He joined 72 squadron after we came home with the squadron. 41 squadron, of course, were posted home. I only spent about 8 months with them. They were only because the whole squadron was posted back to Catrick.
How did you feel about your prospects if we had got into a war with the Italians?
Well, at that time, no. We didn't have anything to do with the Italians. We didn't get involved at all. It was purely the Italians were supporting, well, we're actually fighting the Abyssinians, but we never went anywhere near that part of Abyssinia. In fact, we never went into Abyssinia. We just went to Somaliland, and we would fly along the boundaries occasionally between ourselves and between Somalia and Abyssinia. But no aggression, and no aggression either side, shall we say. So we then flew back. Aden, of course, was Comaxa at Aden. Comaxa was just a little satellite airfield of Comaxa. Comaxa being the main airfield, which was just on the edge of Aden town, if you like. But we were at Comaxa, which is out in wooden huts. To beg your pardon, yes, wooden huts with corrugated iron roofs. That's where we lived for... I was with the squadron for 8 months, and I don't think the squadron was in the Aden for more than 12 months.
Did you expect a war to break out between Britain and Italy?
You know, No, I don't think for a moment I'd give it a thought. I never thought there was going to be any question of war. Though we saw these huge convoys going, when I was at Aboussouer, we used to go down to Ismailia and sail on the bitter lakes of Ismailia. And it was then we watched the convoys going through with all these tanks and Italians on board. these ships, and we saw this huge convoy, was much bigger than we imagined, going through to Abyssinia. So we, at that time, I thought, and of course, I never thought at that time I was going to be posted to Aden. One never knew where you were going to go after you finished your advanced training at Abyssinia. You might have been posted home, you might have been posted to Iraq or Aden or India, if you like. So at that time, although we were sailing on the Mediterranean, watching these Italians going through, we never thought for a moment that any of us would be posted to Aden. I don't know why. We just thought, well, we knew it was a possibility, but we didn't know anything about our postings till the end of our course, which was November, I think, of 35, was it? 35?
Now, can we jump ahead
yes.
to 1940?
Yes.
Because then you joined 213 Squadron.
Correct.
In Tangmere. Can you
tell
me about...
Before, may I just...
Yes.
...can guess for a second. I was posted to 213 Squadron as commanding officer, but not at Tangmere, at Exeter. I took over command at Exeter, and... I took over from a chap called McGregor, Squadron Leader McGregor, who then became Chief of Fighter Command, finally, before he died. Anyway, that's beside the point. I took over, and within two or three days, the squadron was posted to Tangmere. And I only had about two or three flights against the enemy at Exeter. And then I was told overnight, at dawn, to move the squadron to Tangmere. We were going to relieve 601 Squadron. 601 Squadron was the auxiliary squadron, one of the London auxiliary squadrons, which had been badly knocked about. And we were told that we were going to leave them, and they were going to move to Exeter. And we were moving out. Now, it's such a jumble, if I may say so. There was no question of us moving our ground crews. We had to leave our ground crews as they were. So when I flew my squadron to Tangmere, I was supported from then on for months, shall we say, by the ground crews of 601 Squadron. And my ground crew were left at Exeter, and they continued supporting 601 Squadron, which, as I told you, had been very badly mauled, and they had to get quite a lot of new pilots and train them up there. More or less, it was turned into sort of training squadron, I think, for new pilots to build up back to strength. I think that was the problem. Anyway, that's what happened there. So I was then... in command of 213 Squadron at Aden.
At Tangmere.
At Tangmere, yes. Big apart. Tangmere, yes. Now.
Can you tell me about the operations which the squadron carried out at
yes.
Tangmere?
Yes, yes. Well, we were fighting, of course, the Germans. They were mostly based... The Germans that we fought against mostly were in the Cherbourg area. They used to have big bell boats coming, of course, from there. And we used to sit in a dispersal on Tangmere, and we would watch towards looking out with binoculars, looking out to watch the bell boats forming up over Cherbourg. You'd see the Germans building up their forces. It's a marvellous sight. And then we would get the word to go when they had eventually decided, the Germans had eventually decided to attack this country. We were, of course, scrambled. So what we had was a layer at about 7,000 feet of bombers, German bombers, and then at 20,000 feet we had one Manoes. And above that, of course, the 109s. They were about 30,000, 35,000 feet. They were way up top. So we were sent off usually at about 20,000 feet, shall we say, and we would then meet head on a ring of 110s. It's the most marvelous sight, if I can describe it. You'd suddenly see ahead of you there a ring of aeroplanes going circling round and coming towards you. That was their attack. And in the 110, they had rear gunners. So if you went anywhere into that pack, you were a dead duck. So you had to just pick them off as best you could. And when we eventually broke up the ring, then was the time to go in and attack. And if you were lucky, you'd get one. I got on two occasions I shot down a 110, which was and I watched it go down and it crashed into the sea, and a chap called Sergeant he supported me. He went down and saw it crash into the sea, and
never mind about his name for the moment.
Yes.
What kind of planes were you flying?
Hurricanes.
How did you find the Hurricane compared with the German fighters?
Well, against the 110s was equal, quite equal. Against the 109s, we were not as fast as the Spitfires. Spitfires had the superiority of the 109s, and I didn't. But when we went back to, if I may transgress for a second,
yes.
When we went back to Catterick in 41 Squadron, we were re-equipped from, we took our demons back with us to England, we were re-equipped with Fury fighters, two Fury 2 fighters, and then we were re-equipped with Spitfires, and so I flew Spitfires until about the end of 1939, I think it would be. I flew Spitfires and 40. I was a flight commander in 41 Squadron, and then I was posted to go on an instructor's course.
Which did you prefer, flying, the Spitfire or the Hurricane?
I preferred the Spitfire every time, yes, because I really, it was just that much superior. It was that much superior, definitely.
Can you tell me about the personnel you had in your 213 squadron,
yes,
in the Battle of Britain?
Well, Well, the pilot, one of the pilots, of course, I was very friendly with, was Jackie Singh. He was the flight commander in the squadron. Now, he was in one of these raids we were doing, attacking the Germans in the middle of the ocean. He was shot down. Jackie was shot down. And I thought, oh my God, I saw him going down like that. I thought, that's the end of him. Not a bit of it. That same evening, I was sitting in the mess, wondering what had happened to poor old Jackie, when he came on the telephone from Portsmouth, I think it was. He'd been picked up by a tanker. You know what the tanker was carrying? 100 octane fuel from America. And he said he sat in a tanker there, and he said, I was been much happier to have stayed up there and gone on fighting rather than get onto this carrier canning 100 octane fuel, which was for the fighters.
This was in the channel.
This was in the channel, yes. Yeah. So he came in on the thing. That was Jackie Singh. He was a flight commander. Me. And then there was George Westlake, who went on to be quite senior. I think he became a group captain in the end. Yes, and he was well decorated in the desert. He was very nice. I liked him very much. Very friendly, George Westlake.
Did the squadron suffer badly in the Battle of Britain?
Yes, pretty badly. I can't honestly remember the squadron really. Did better before the Battle of Britain, really. I think it did extremely well in the Dunkirk troubles. That was before I took over command. That was when the squadron was operating from England, and it had a very high list of destroyed German airplanes, but I can't honestly remember the number. But we did our fair share from Tangmere, but we didn't do as well as Biggin Hill because we didn't have the aggression that Biggin Hill had. Biggin Hill, they were defending London. And whereas we were defending the West Country, really. So most of all our stuff that we had to fight against was the stuff coming from Cherbourg area. Whereas Biggin Hill, of course, had 12 group, had many more squadrons than we had. And so they had a bigger destruction rate than I think we had.
Did you have any German Air Force attacks on Tangmere airfield?
Oh, yes, yes. Tangmere was very badly attacked in just before 601 left. It was very badly attacked. Then when we moved in, it was attacked, but only spasmodically. Only spasmodically. But the hangars were damaged, and the operations room, this is just before I moved, arrived there, the operations room where a lot of WAFs were killed, was knocked out. It was an operations room which was on the airfield. Dispersal had not been really thought of sufficiently at that time. So when we moved in, they had moved the operation room down into Chichester. So, and of course, they had restocked it with WAFs, which had been trained at fighter command, so they came down, and so there was a new operations room which made life much easier for all concerned, and made the workings of the machinery just that much better. But that was an instance of failure to sync up dispersal to the degree that it eventually became as the war progressed.
As squadron commander, did you have any disciplinary problems to deal with in the Battle of Britain?
No, none whatsoever. No, it was all very straightforward. I had an excellent adjutant. I had a 601 squadron's adjutant. He was left with me, and my adjutant stayed at Exeter and took over the running of administrative running of 601 squadron. My adjutant was named Tom Waterlow. He was an auxiliary. He was a charming fellow. He was a qualified lawyer, and he was an excellent fella, and I got to know him very well. He and I became very friendly, and working with Tom was perfect. He did the ministration for me, and I can't remember anything going wrong while he was running the administrative side of 213 Squadron. Although his heart was probably in 601, because that's where he really belonged, but he worked with me perfectly.
What was morale like during the Battle of Britain?
Oh, it was high. It was high, yes. It was terrific. Marvellous. Really marvellous.
Even though you were outnumbered?
We didn't. Yes, exactly. We didn't. Didn't disturb us in any way whatsoever. We just accepted it. We accepted it. There was nothing we could do about it. It was just a question. We were attacked. You were attacked, and that was it. And you never had any feelings of loss of morale in the squadron whatsoever. Everybody had the word to go. One's mind was so occupied with the job in hand that you didn't have time to think about your own skin or...
Did you think the Germans were going to invade?
Yes. Well, now, I thought that because I was very friendly with the station commander at the time. But station commander was Group Captain Jack Borry, eventually became an Air Vice Marshal. Jack Borry was my squadron commander in 41 Squadron in Aden. Isn't that extraordinary? And here he was again, Tangmere, the commander of Tangmere. And he had been knocked about in France. He'd been running an airfield in France before Dunkirk, or during Dunkirk, and was then posted back to take over command of Tangmere. And he was at Tangmere when it was very viciously attacked. But that was... that was just before we arrived. That was the days of 601 Squadron. So just telling you about the operations room, that was not... I mean, Jack Borry was the station commander, and he was absolutely charming. And he and I, of course, got on terribly well together. Now, invasion, right. It was decided that we were right with our feet in the water, so to speak, in Tangmere. Feet in the channel, as somebody said to me on one occasion. Feet in the channel. So there we are. Well, invasion was... We knew that the Huns were building these barges and so on. This is information that came through the intelligence side, which we knew about. And then we had to... All the members of the station had to get your... WAF or someone to screw on a little yellow band on your left hand arm. A little thing about that size. Yellow. And that was because the threat of invasion. And we all had these yellow bands on. Bands. It was just stitched on. It was a little square. A little square of yellow.
What was that supposed to do? What was the yellow band supposed to do?
What was the yellow band supposed to? Well, it was an indication that you were friendly. If you were going back into the station and had to get through the guards on it, if you wear the yellow band. Of course, if the Germans had known about the yellow band, they could quite easily come ashore with the yellow bands on too. It was just so stupid, really, but it was... That was the threat of invasion at Tangmere. Whether any other stations had these yellow bands, the yellow squares sewn onto the tulips or not, I don't know. But we had it at Tangmere.